This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar, led by my two favorites, the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. One big injury in the Big Ten over the weekend, and that's quarterback Tyler Van Dyke for Wisconsin. Got off to a good start against Alabama, was moving the team. Looked like a veteran out there, could get it done. Then he went to the sideline on a scramble out of the pocket. And they'd eventually take him out on a cart. And, you know, people have to remember it was a year ago he had a rare right knee lesion against North Carolina. He returned later in the year. They haven't said yet what the injury is, but all that Luke Fickell has said, he says it doesn't look good for him or us, but they're going to have an MRI done on him anyway. Penn State will play them October 26th in Madison. So that was the big one. Coming up on Friday night, this is, to me, is a really interesting game. Illinois at Nebraska. We know Nebraska's off to a great start. I mean, their significant win so far is Colorado. We can debate how significant that is. But Dylan Raiola is off to a good start. We know that at this point, that Illinois, that was a good win over Kansas, but then Kansas lost again the other night. Same story. Kansas is figuring out how not to win. And that is an issue. I mean, they were sort of home. They played at the home of Sporting KC in Kansas City, Kansas, because their stadium's under renovation right now. And that's where they are. So Illinois has that big win over Kansas. Everything else has been what you'd expect. Now you're going to find out on the road against an improving team that has found ways to lose in the last 8 years. Now as a big-time quarterback, that should be a very interesting game. I'm going to be locked in and watching that game on Friday night. Now, you're going to be someplace else, but you won't get a chance to do that.
I will be in Warrior Run for undefeated Lewisburg and undefeated Warrior Run.
Should be a good game. By the way, Steve Williams is going to be filling in for the suit on Friday night. So Kevin has something that he needs to have taken care of on Friday morning. So Steve Williams will be doing that.
Yes, I was already told I had to be here that Friday afternoon. There's nobody else to do the show.
Right. But he's fine. It's just, but it has to be done Friday. Based on what the doctor said and so forth. So, and he Yeah, I feel bad. I feel badly for Shikala. I mean, they haven't scored a point now in, what, three games? They've been shut out three straight games?
Yes, three straight games, and I... Yeah, it's 90, since the overtime
it's
90, game.
It's 99 to nothing, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's... Oh, it's brutal. And Selinsgrove Grove won. Lewisburg won again. So good news there. And who beat Jersey Shore?
Shamokin.
Shamokin beat Jersey Shore because you were pointing to that game. And Mount Carmel beat Southern Columbia 7-6.
Yep.
Right? So you don't think I keep track of these things.
You've been doing great so far.
That means I'm going to keep it right where it is. If I go beyond this, I may be out of my comfort zone. Okay? But I do know Steve's going to fill in for Kevin. Steve will do a great job, and then we'll get Kevin back as quickly as possible because he always does a great job. So, and then that game, I'm going to watch that Friday night, though, is Nebraska-Illinois because Penn State will play Illinois next. So, naturally, I want to see that. And beyond that, you know, and obviously get ready for the game with Kent State. Now, what's interesting about the Kent State thing, we know what happened on Saturday night. I watched the first quarter of it because I just wanted to get a feel and a read for a team I haven't really seen much of. I mean, I've seen Kai Thomas play before. He was at Minnesota, the running back. But yeah, I know they'd struggled coming in. I know they lost to Pitt. I know they lost to St. Francis. And, you know, Kenny Burns is really the coach is in a tough spot. They go down to Tennessee. And it was 71 to nothing. And Tennessee, by the way, had two field goals in the second half. That was it. Had a field goal in the third and a field goal in the fourth because Josh Heupel just like, hey, I think they just ran the same play over and over again. But they did go for up 30 nothing. They went for an onside kick. Why? Why? You know that you got this team. There's no need to do that stuff. Now, Heupel's got that big game at Oklahoma coming up this week. He's going back to his alma mater. But I watched them, and, you know, they're outmanned in that game Saturday night. Completely. Every position. And remember, Sean Lewis had been the head coach at Kent State. Kent State, with Sean Lewis as the head coach, they were playing pretty well. They had a good college quarterback. Not a guy that's going to play in the pros, but a good college quarterback. Not bad. They were competitive in a lot of games. They got to bowl games. Kent State got to a couple bowl games with Sean Lewis. Then he took the offensive coordinator's job with Colorado. And that lasted, what, two-thirds of the season before Deion decided that he wasn't doing enough to help his son. I mean, let's be honest, that's what it really comes down to. Okay, that's what it comes down to. I mean, you know, if Todd Hummel were the quarterback, right, I think Sean Lewis would still be the coordinator, but because Shedeur Sanders is the quarterback and he's not getting enough to show whatever, yeah. That's my gut feeling as to what I'm seeing.
Throwing up 30-9 with a minute 15 left in the game also probably proves your point as well. Did you see that?
Who's that?
You talking about Colorado? That was Colorado against Colorado State.
Oh yeah, they're just building stats. That's all it is. I know it's an in-state rival. I got that, but still, no need. Michigan's going to play USC this week, and Davis Warren, the former walk-on, is going to be replaced at quarterback by junior Alex Orji. Now, Orji is a very good runner. No getting around it. A very good runner. But throwing the ball, who knows? And there are a lot of people around Michigan that say that the reason Warren has been starting instead of Orji is that Orji's not a great practice player. And you have guys like that. Sometimes they're not great practice players, but then you put them in the game like, oh, okay. All right, I can see it. All right. Orji's one of those guys that has not been a great practice player from all accounts. So Warren has outperformed him in practice. But now they're just going to go with Orji and see how it plays out against USC. That's another intriguing game this weekend. But as for Kent State, you need to go out, just play, get it done, and go. I mean, you're the prohibitive favorite. Play that way and make sure that, like what Tennessee did the other night, Tennessee made sure that there was no spot from the ball, the time the ball was kicked off, that they thought Kent State had a shot to win. Kent State knew they had no shot of winning this game. None. Right away, because Tennessee was just, they jumped all over them. Yeah, Penn State's got to do the same thing. Just have to make sure that early on, the message is sent, you are not going to win.
There isn't anybody there that can that's good enough, though, you would think, though, right? Because the quarterback's not as good as Bazalek or anything like that.
No. He's not. But again, you just don't want to get into one of those situations where, like, they do a couple things well, suddenly they get a little bit of confidence. And you know what I mean? You try. Look, I've done these games before. Now, most of them I've done have been in basketball. Okay, most of them, obviously. But this is where my basketball experience comes into play with all the games I've done. You're like, you know, the assumption is this is not a game, and suddenly with 10 minutes to go, it's a game. You're like, okay. That's why I try to tell my broadcasting class all the time. I said, you're on for 6 hours doing football. You're on for 3 hours doing basketball. You just be ready for anything because you never know what game you're going to get. Everybody can make assumptions. And I appreciate the assumptions, by the way, because as I said, and I'll say this. I'll say this in the pregame show, and I'll say it on Saturday. I said Penn State's the prohibitive favorite. In other words, I'm not hiding anything. But when the game starts, it's game. And then at that point, you find out what kind of game you get. Does it turn out that the prohibitive favorite does exactly what was expected of it? Or do you find out there was a little bit of a fight in the game? Or do you find out, like, oh, man, there's much more fight in this game I thought there was going to be? You know what I mean? That's what you have to find out. Like James says, winning's hard. Winning's hard. I know everybody thinks, you know, like a game like this is easy. Winning's hard. It's, you know, You don't know what some of these games. I mean, Northern Illinois was not supposed to be competitive with Notre Dame. Then the next week, Notre Dame goes out like, hey, you know, Purdue plays great defense, the whole thing, and Notre Dame blows them out 66-7. You know, it's, you know, every week's different. Okay, and then, you know, it's. You know, Pitt's come from behind twice, way behind against Cincinnati one. Then they had their 10-point deficit with 3 minutes to play, and they hit second and 30 touchdown pass? You're like going, really? Oh, well.
It looks like they found the quarterback at least.
Oh, yeah, the kid from Alabama?
Yeah.
No, he's a good player. No, I like him. He's got guts. He runs. No. He's not bad at all.
The Christian Falou had a, is that how you say his last name? He had a big win this weekend, too.
Yeah. So, you know, it's so that's where it's week three. The one thing you don't do is you don't overreact. The only thing about I'll say about the NFL through week two is, with one more game to play, is the product has not been as entertaining to me so far because there have been too many field goals and too many penalties. Now, if your team's winning, it's entertaining.
My team's 2-0 currently. I can't complain.
Right. No, I'm, you know, like I said, the Steelers, I mean, the NFL doesn't have style points. So I'm just talking about as a general football fan, I don't find the games as entertaining so far because it's just been too many field goals and too many penalties. So
I'm with you. I enjoyed the first half last night. That third quarter took the wind out of my sails, though.
Oh, yeah. I think it set the game back to the 1940s. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hello, welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We've got Dan Baker, the Philadelphia Phillies public address announcer. He's going to be up in the next segment. We'll discuss some Phillies with him, who are playing pretty well. They did a pretty good job against my Mets this week, I have to admit. This weekend, I have to admit. And I find it hard to believe this series was the first time that the Phillies and the Mets have met in September, that both teams were in the pennant race nominally, which surprises me. I do remember, when I was a kid, obviously being a big Mets fan, we had tickets for in 86 to go to the Vet on a Sunday. And they had a chance in early September to clinch. And they lost Friday at the Vet. They lost Saturday at the Vet. And I was so excited. I thought they would clinch Sunday. And, of course, they ended up getting swept, and they did not clinch at the Vet. So did not work out for me that weekend. What do we talk about so far today? We talked a little bit about the NFL, penalties, Steelers, Eagles tonight against the Falcons. That is the Monday Night Football game. That should be a fun one. Got into a little bit of high school football last segment. Steve, I mentioned that I was up at Jersey Shore, and Shamokin got a big win up at Jersey Shore on Friday night. They became the first team to beat. They broke Jersey Shore's 42-game home winning streak. Last team to beat Jersey Shore on Thompson Street Stadium was the 2019 Southern Columbia Tigers with Julian Fleming and Gage Garcia and that crew that are all, you know, some are playing in the Big Ten now, obviously. So, and then the last Division I team to beat the Pennsylvania Heartland Athletic Conference Division I team to beat the Bulldogs up at Thompson Street Stadium was Shikellamy in 2017. So it's been 7 years since a Division I team has won up at Thompson Street Stadium, and Shamokin's now 4-0 for the first time in a real long time. Nobody knew off the top of their heads, and I did not get a chance to look it up yet, but it's been at least 20 years. I'll have to look up. There was a year that Coach Carm DeFrancesco had them to the district final that they were real good in the early 2000s, but I'm not sure they started 4-0 because I think they lost to Southern in that span there somewhere. And it's going to be real interesting for the Indians. They still have Sealands Grove and Mount Carmel yet on their schedule. Of course, I think if you follow high school football, you're well aware that the Indians have not won the Coal Bucket since 1995. So, you know, that's something they're aiming for. And right now, they have to consider themselves the favorites for the 4A title in District 4. If they're able to beat Selins Grove in 2 weeks, they'll put themselves in a driver's position to have home field advantage through the playoffs with wins over Selins Grove and Jersey Shore. And it should be an interesting postseason, especially if the Indians are able to get on their turf and not have to go back up to Jersey Shore and try and pull it off again for a second time. What else? Like I said, Lewisburg and Warrior Run are both undefeated, both 4-0. They face off this week up at Warrior Run in a key Division III matchup in the Heartland Athletic Conference. Nobody was real sure the last time Warrior Run was 4-0. Coach Derek Zeppin thought it might have been in the 80s, but if it wasn't the 80s, it was sometime in the 50s, they thought. So it's been a long time since the defenders have been this good, so that should be a fun one up at Warrior Run. I'm sure we'll get into it with Greg Wetzel during the High School Football Roundtable on Thursday. This half hour was brought to you by Sunbury Motors. We'll be back in the next segment. We'll have Dan Baker from the Philadelphia Phillies, and you're listening to The Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Never abandon the legendary Dan Baker, who is joining us now. Dan, always a pleasure, my friend. First of all, how are you doing?
Speaking of legends, Steve Jones!
Yeah.
I'm doing fine, and our Phillies are really doing well, Steve. I think they have a really good chance to go far in postseason play.
They got
Assuming that they get there, but our chances are pretty good.
Well, they got Alec Bohm back yesterday. What does that additional bat mean in this Phillies lineup, Dan?
Well, it meant a whole lot, Steve. Alec was one of the top RBI guys in the league. He was leading the league in doubles with 44 when he was injured 14 days ago. And, he's protection for, a Bryce Harper. He usually hits fourth behind Bryce Harper and in front of Nick Castellanos, let's say. And, the Phillies have a number of good veteran bats. Bohm is really coming to his own, Steve, this year. By the way, was that Todd singing when I first came on?
I think it was. I think so. Yeah, I think that was Todd singing when you came on, Dan. He's just a happy camper.
I see the Nittany Lions are off to another good start. Congratulations.
Well, good start. They're 2-0. They've got Kent State this week. They'll play four straight Saturdays coming up. Kent State, Illinois, UCLA, and then we'll go out to the Coliseum for USC before the next bye week. So it's a good start. It's what you hope for. And then with you, now the team's on the road. I've talked to you about the mechanics of your job because I think people find it fascinating. Do you keep score of the game? With all the traffic you have to handle, do you keep your own scorecard in the game?
Yes, I do, Steve. Remember, my job is not as difficult as yours with play-by-play, where you're talking all of the time and need to be correct. with all the statistics that you use. I'm just announcing each batter as he comes to the plate, keeping any defensive substitutions or pitching changes. But that scorecard helps me keep my place and know where in the batting order a particular substitution needs to be made, things like that. So it's very helpful. You know, it's funny, Steve, it's something that a lot of us guys have done since Little League Baseball, those of us who've played that, which I think is most of the male population.
Yes.
And then, through early teen leagues and late teen leagues, and in my case, it was the Camden County Pony League and later the Garden State League. And, very enjoyable. But, I kept score of a lot of Little League games. And even when I wasn't playing, I kept score of other games. And I actually would go up to the press box at our Little League field in Mount Ephraim and run the scoreboard sometimes. Or, it was just a lot of fun. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do it, but you do need to be focused and you must be accurate. And so it's been fun all this while. And, geez, I used it in high school, Steve. I used it in college. I've used it professionally. And isn't it something that you learn as a kid can benefit you your whole life?
No question, because I tell my broadcasting class that on the baseball side of it, that scorebook is the single most important tool that you have at your disposal in the game. I said it gives you all the reference points where you can make notes, but at the same time, when you need to refer to it, I tell them all the time, it's the most important tool that they have at their disposal.
It certainly is. You hit the nail on the head.
Well, I finally got one right in class. There you go.
I know you've got a lot more than that right, Steve. Yeah. You have one of the most exciting voices in sports.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah. I have an exciting
matter
job.
Matter of fact, if I'm going through the radio, looking around the dial for different games and so forth, when I hear your exciting voice on the call, I know that's Penn State right there. And, your voice is so identified with the Nittany Lions, and you have a gift.
Oh, well, so do you. You have a tremendous gift that Philadelphians have cherished for decades. Now, I want to ask you, here's the next part. Do you keep all your scorecards, or do you throw them out when you're done?
I throw them out when I'm done.
There you go.
Oh, boy, would I have a lot of scorecards. I think for the Phillies alone, I've probably done approximately 4,250 games. And that's just the home games.
Oh, I know, because they're at the Brewers tonight, so you're not doing that one. But, geez, 4,000, that's amazing. Probably in your house, they're glad you threw them out.
Oh, I could. So, however, I have a lot of other things. I'm sitting in my den now, Steve, and I'm surrounded by my wife's and my memorabilia collection, and a whole bunch of photos, some autographs, some not, bats. And baseball's autographed, and quite a few famous athletes adorn my walls. And, I enjoy that. But what I've saved, and of course, scorecards are only, a piece of paper. So all this other stuff, I'm upstairs, and we converted our fourth bedroom to a den, 40 years ago. Yeah. And my wife said, "No, don't take anybody upstairs." Because, it's a lot of things are piled around. See, one time, everything was really neat, I think people enjoyed, but nobody sees it. Anyway, I'm donating it to my alma mater, Rowan University. That's where
great.
I went to undergraduate school in Glassboro, New Jersey. It was then called Glassboro State College. Yeah. And that way somebody will see them, because nobody ever sees these. And I think if I'm not improperly patting myself on the back, it's a pretty good collection.
Oh, I'm sure it's a great collection. I'll give you a great collector's moment. The legendary Ernie Harwell had done the Tigers, of course, for years. Well, they got to the point where they're going to tear down Tiger Stadium and they're building Comerica Park. So they told Ernie, hey, is there something here that you want? We want to make sure you get first dibs on it. He says, yeah. He says, I'd like the toilet in the visitor's clubhouse. They went, what? You want the what? He says, yeah. He says, think of all the Hall of Famers over the years that have used that. So he got it. And he obviously had completely cleaned out and everything. He turned it into a planter for his wife.
Oh, my heavens. I never heard that story.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's what he did with it. Hey, Dan, stretch run for this team. What do you think of the pitching? We'll start with the starting pitching. Because, look, if you're going to have four good starters in the playoffs, you can take care of business. Do you like where their starting pitching is?
Well, if everybody says Zach Wheeler is either the best or the second best starting pitcher in the league. You know, it's between him and Sale, right now for the Cy Young Award, I would say. Aaron Nola is dependable. He gives you, like 200 innings every year, and usually is among the league leaders in strikeouts. I think he's a notch below Wheeler. Ranger Suarez was elected to the All-Star team this year. In fact, the Phillies had five pitchers selected, and a couple of relievers as well, Jeff Hoffman and Matt Strom. Ranger's velocity is down. He usually has excellent control, changes speeds well, and usually throws mid-90s, for his fastball.
Right.
But he's been down around 90-91 since he came back from a bout on the injured list. And his last several outings have not been great, at least of the All-Star caliber that we saw the first half of 2024. And he's trying to work his way, back toward that level, but he's not quite there yet. Now, on the other hand, Christopher Sanchez has been such a pleasant surprise. He was yesterday's starter, and he only gave up the one run, a Tyrone Taylor home run. He's pitching very well. He's among the earned run average leaders. He has 10 wins. He didn't get the win yesterday. He didn't get the loss either. Phillies came from behind to overtake that 1-0 Mets lead late in the game. But I think those four give you a real good shot. We've really struggled for a fifth starter this year. Between Taiwan Walker and some AAA call-ups, although Taiwan Walker had a very good relief outing in Saturday's game and played a key part in that Phillies come from behind win. But of course in postseason you usually don't go to your fifth starter.
That's right.
So, the Phillies are much improved defensively. They have one of the top offenses in the league.
Yep.
And they have a shot at home field advantage throughout the playoffs, including the World Series, which they lead in those departments as of today. And, you know, we've only got a couple of weeks left. So if they can hold on, you know, the teams, the division winners with the two best records, they get a bye in that wild card round.
Right.
And right now that's the Phillies and Dodgers. And the Brewers aren't too far behind. I think they're maybe four behind the Phillies. Dodgers, I think, are two. And so if the Phillies can hold on to one of the top two and maybe even the top one, you know, they can have home field advantage right throughout. And with the way Citizens Bank Park is jumping, I mean, it's loud. It's exciting. Yeah. And I think it does give the Phillies a home field advantage.
So then I'll get to the bullpen part, and that would be Hoffman, Kirkring, Matt Strom. And then there's Jose Alvarado. What do you think about that bullpen? Can they do enough to pitch the last two or possibly three innings of a game and win it?
Yes, Steve, they can. And Jose Alvarado looks like he's back on track. Mm-hmm. He was on the injured list. In fact, he took a leave of absence for some personal issues a couple of weeks back. And at the time, he wasn't pitching that well. But since he's returned, he looks like the old Jose Alvarado, and he's really good. I mean, you know, he can get up to 100 miles per hour, and he's got a wicked cutter that drops down in the zone and below the strike zone. He's really tough on left-handed batters. Of course, he's a left-hander. And then at the trade deadline, the Phillies acquired Carlos Estevez from the Angels.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they had to give up a couple of pretty good pitching prospects. But Estevez has done a very good job, and he is the closer. Up till Estevez' arrival, Phillies manager Rob Thompson, who's done an amazing job, you know, there wasn't one designated closer. Hoffman probably got that save opportunity as much as anybody, and maybe Alvarado right behind him. But, you know, Strom could save it if need be, and now but Estevez has established himself as the closer. I think the bullpen's in good shape. And Jose Ruiz, who pitched well again yesterday, another scoreless inning, has been a pleasant surprise.
Always, always a true pleasure and an honor to have you on the show, my friend. You continue to do marvelous, marvelous work to delight the great fans at Citizens Bank Park. You are a fabric of what makes the experience there special. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve, and keep up your great work with the Penn State Nittany Lions.
See, that's how you announce it like that. That's how a pro does it. Dan, thank you.
Thanks, Steve, and thank you, Todd.
And that's the legendary Dan Baker. Doesn't get any better than Dan. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment. And, you know, you okay with all the buttons there? I'm a little concerned.
We'll find out when we come back.
It's always a mystery on this show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their fall kickoff blitz. Savings of up to $12,416 and financing as low as 0%. Score a great deal on the award-winning 2024 Ford Bronco Sport, and SMC has 18 in stock, priced from as low as $29,965. Sunbury Motors is going to give you a Hail Mary of a deal on over 50 2024 Ford Escapes, priced as low as $27,915. Plus, get 1.9
0.9% financing for 60 months. SMC is the Hall of Fame of Ford F-150s, with 35 available, with discounts of over 12 grand, and they are slashed to the lowest price of the season, starting at only $48,859. Don't let the play clock run out on these awesome deals, as the final drive of savings ends Monday, September 30th. Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
We'll have to find out later if that's good for the audience or not. Yes, so Penn State will kick off against Illinois at either 7 or 7:30. It is just bizarre to me. Bizarre. That these things, they take so long. Now, I think the basketball schedule's out this week, because I'm going back to last year's press release. It was September 19th when the Big Ten basketball schedule was announced. That would be, quote, this week. We'll see if the pattern holds 1 year later. But like, they do this kickoff thing, and you can't figure out now where you want to put games? I mean, at least we know the time. I mean, what network here is it is really irrelevant. And that's the part they don't understand. It actually is irrelevant because the game's here at home. It's just a question of when people know they should be at the game. But they make it seem like this is the single most complicated thing on the face of the earth. They act as if Oppenheimer's job was so much easier.
Not, what, 9 days out and they don't know a network either?
Nope.
I don't know how. How do you, if you work for these people, how do you schedule your lives?
I know. It's, you know, for Jack and I, so what? We show up whenever they tell us to show up. So I don't worry about such thing at all. But I keep thinking about the fans. I mean, people have to have the ability to plan. I mean, you should have had the entire schedule done with one flex game to begin with.